location where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Hi, it's Sunday the 30th of July, and I'm in London with my brother Martin. I'm Peter Ball of the Information, and we've been speaking quite a lot about the Grenfell Tower tragedy recently, and we had another reason to come up to London today. So we've come up to Chelsea and Kensington, or Kensington and Chelsea, and we visited the old town hall, which used to be Chelsea Town Hall, to do something else that we had to do today. And then we walked up through Hyde Park, and we've actually gone right up to Grenfell Tower in the north of the borough. So Martin, you've done a few episodes on this. What were your feelings going up to see it today?
Well, we were saying earlier, as we were walking up to the tower, it was a bit of a long walk, but it was worth doing. It felt almost like a pilgrimage, really. I think mainly because ever since the news hit of the tower fire, which was, what, a month ago? But it's just been on my mind, and I've been so absorbed by it all. And I know you have as well, but I put out a couple of episodes on it a couple of weeks back. I did one and then a follow-up one. And as well as that, I've just been keeping an eye on the news about it and stuff. So coming here today was quite significant, really, for me. I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it straight away, partly because I felt that it was a bit of a media circus and there'd be loads of people here, grief tourists and all that stuff. And there was reports of a lot of people quite disrespectfully coming to Grenfell just to take pictures, like selfies of them by the tower and all that. And I noticed the residents had put up signs in various places saying no pictures, or please no selfies at least. It was a significant moment, and I'm very glad I made the effort to do it today. It's not really closure, I think that's the wrong word, but it certainly felt like Mark kind of going there to show a kind of a sign of respect, really, in our own way, in our own subtle way. I mean, we thankfully didn't know anybody who was a victim who was in the tower, but I think it doesn't matter. I still think you feel like you kind of want to pay respect to the victims, and also kind of in a very subtle way just show a little bit of support to the community by just being there and reading the signs. And it's still amazing now. It's a bit like with the Shoreham Air Show crash a few years ago, which we covered in 2015. The community really step up and put all sorts of information flyers all over the place, in telephone boxes and on walls and on pub windows, newsagent windows, billboards, you name it. Everywhere you look, there's signs, and there's still missing persons signs, which is quite sad to see, really, because presumably those people are really not missing now. They're gone, they're perished.
Yeah, and there are also other information sheets stuck on buildings about facts about it, and the inquiry, public inquiry that's on Friday, the deadline was for submissions up to the 28th of July. There's also a filmmaker who's planning to make a film about it. He's got an email address, which we took photographs of these flyers, so we've got a record of all this, so we may well contact them in future. It's quite a hard place to navigate to if you don't know that part of London. Well, we had an HZ, and we're following it up through Notting Hill and various very long residential streets that seemed completely isolated on a Sunday. But it's very, very surprising, very strange almost, but a nice area leading up to it. And we didn't feel the area itself was really deprived, but obviously the council buildings are different from the other housing. But we got the first glimpse of it, this black monolith. It's between some other red brick buildings, and I was struck immediately by a very dark matte finish to it. It really does seem to be a soot, carbony blackness against the sky, much more than I expected to see. I think the contrast in real life is a lot more than in photos.
Yeah, it just looks like, it doesn't look like anything you'd ever really see. It almost looks alien because of the fact that would never happen naturally. You'd never build something and make it that tone of black. It was just this really nasty, like you say, carbonised blackness that... just a definition of burnt out, really. And it's still very much the tower it was a few weeks ago. There is talk soon of the fire services and the authorities covering it up, I guess, with some sheeting or something like that. That'd be quite a major effort to do that. But I guess they want to slowly cover it up and, I guess, eventually start bringing it down.
I think so they can sift inside, I believe. I think that's why they're doing that. Because as it gets colder in the winter and that, and they probably need to preserve the site a lot more. Yeah, it was quite something to see, and we did hang around for quite a while to look at it from several angles.
Probably just under an hour, I guess.
There were two church services going on simultaneously.
Seemed to be going on all day, from what we could tell.
Yeah, they did. It did. I was glad to come up and look at it. There's something I was going to say that slipped my mind about it. Sorry.
It's all right. It's like observations. I think we talked. I guess two observations come to mind for me. The first one was well, obviously you mentioned the blackness of the building. It just seems, when you're there, it just seems darker somehow than it does on video when you see it on the television. But as well as that, there's this really strange. I guess it was a Sunday today, so it was quite quiet there anyway. But there was a really eerie silence in the whole area, really strange silence. You do still get that sense that there was a tragedy there somehow.
The thing I thought, which I'd slightly forgotten, I had a sense of it almost seemed to be looking down on us, a silent monolith, almost like, I don't know, witnessing what was going on below. It's like a piece of time that stopped and it was hanging over the town below and almost wanting to see what would happen next. Like it wanted justice in a way. It almost had a sentience to it, looking down, and was kind of, I know, like a moment of time that stopped and was just kept there up above us.
Yeah, no, I understand. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. It felt that way. It just felt like it was a symbol of an injustice and of a tragedy. Yeah, and like you say, it felt like there was a sort of sentience to it, and or everyone was paying their respects to it and doing what they could to make sure that it doesn't just go forgotten about, really, and there is justice, touch words, by people, arrests or whatever. We don't really know yet what's going to happen. They're talking now about the very real chance that people, it may be corporate manslaughter, so we'll see. I think there's still a hunger out there for arrests to be made, but I'm not entirely sure if that can happen with corporate manslaughter. I don't think any one person's held to account. But I guess one of the things that I mentioned when we were there, and I think it's just, I don't know, I'm no expert, so I don't like being a sort of armchair expert on this kind of thing. But when you're there, the tower's very high, no doubt about it. But when you're actually there, it's not, you would have thought that the fire brigade would have equipment that could go higher than the height they reached, which is about halfway up. I think about floor 15 or so they got up to, with platforms, raised platforms and things. And I don't know, it's striking when you're there and you think there are a lot of towers in this country that are as high as that. There's even one in Brighton, I think. Conway, is it Conway Court? It seems maybe as high, maybe not quite as high as Grenfell, but it's in that area. And the first thing you think is, really, the fire service doesn't have equipment that can go up to that top floor? That's quite incredible. Because, I don't know, when you see it on television, you imagine it's going to be higher than it really is. And when you're actually there, it's quite amazing to think that actually, not just this country, presumably most countries in the world, they just don't have equipment that goes up as high to get to those top floors.
If you were for researching this, I know the buildings, each flat was meant to be self-contained, and it's the cladding that made it spread, of course, and that's, maybe they felt that the fire could be tackled inside rather than having a thing outside doing it, but in this case that wasn't possible.
And access was an issue as well, which was talked about by the Grenfell Action Group, and when you're there you realise it'd be difficult to get lots of fire engines there, because they're quite narrow roads, and I'm guessing when people are parked up at night time, residents have got cars, etc., all parked up, it would be very difficult to get vehicles really close to the tower.
Yeah, we would say some of the paths and that are blocked off, have been fenced off, and our police cars and that's still around, so it's like a police lockdown zone. But we went pretty near to the actual building. You can see it widely from the area, but it's often glimpsed over other buildings, between other buildings. And one strange thing, it's a very lovely leafy area, lots of beautiful trees around there, very full-grown trees, and you've seen this dark tower behind the trees. That was kind of strange and eerie. You've got life and death all together in the same view. It was, I think seeing it on a Sunday too, such a quiet day, it was very moving to see that, I think.
It was, and I think as well, like the whole leafy suburb area, it's strange because when people talk about the area on television, and I think the impression you get is that it's a very, very rundown area. And by contrast, just up the road, you've got this very yuppified part of Kensington, I guess, where you've got kind of more high-rise buildings, etc. And that's sort of true and sort of not true. It's not, the contrast isn't quite as extreme as I was expecting. The area where Grenfell Tower is, it's social housing, it's blocks, it's kind of old-style buildings. But it's not a horrible area, and the community there seems quite tight, from what I can tell, just from us being there today. And you're only a short walk from pubs, and you're a very short walk from Latimer Road tube station. Very short walk.
Anyway, if it's on the tube network, in London standards, that's quite good, because some places in London aren't really on the tube or well away from a tube stop, so still quite a good place to be.
It is, absolutely. And I mean, one of the things I said was, it's the walk we did, it seemed to be the walk you would have naturally done to get access to the tower if you'd have been a resident. I mean, we were blocked eventually by a barrier because they've, like you say, they fenced it off. But I think we probably did the route that many residents would have done to get to Latimer Road tube station, which is quite a striking moment. And I got a bit emotional when I thought of that, because you just have this idea in your head that you've done a walk that many people would have done on a daily basis as part of their routine. And it's all, and suddenly their life was cut short in a nasty way, and you're kind of following those footsteps. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just a small thing, but you think about that.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.